Paul Brignet has been dry farming wine grapes since the 1970s. He's been combining traditional practices learned from the early Italian growers in the area with his own experimentation and applying what he's learned to good effect even in the most difficult locations.
As you can see from this site, it's too steep. The soil is too poor. It shouldn't be good for anything, but if you do the right things, you can make it into a dry farming site.
That site, a mile or so west of Geyserville, is a hilly 10 acres he planted 16 years ago and currently manages and sharecrops with the property owners. It has benefited from one of Bernier's early discoveries, that grape pomace, what remains after the fruit has been crushed, makes an ideal compost for vineyards.
We take the fruit off the vine after the vine has taken a lot of energy to create it. We cut the fruit off, squeeze some water and sugar out of it, and we throw the rest away. And the vine, when it sees those nutrients again, it knows what to do with them.
Composting and growing nitrogen-fixing cover crops, which are later plowed under, not only enrich the soil with nutrients, the organic materials help retain water and oxygenate the ground. So the vines can draw what they need from the upper soil level while also sending roots deep into the rain-fed water table below. This is what vines are naturally inclined to do, Bernier believes, rather than wait for water to be provided to them.
A vine that is being irrigated is a little confused, I think. It's going on from a flush of growth in the springtime, and then it gets a shot of water, sometimes fertilizer. It continues growing. At the same time, it's setting fruit. Sometimes they grow much further into the season than is wise. It makes it so that the crops don't ripen in the same way. A dry farm vineyard has a predictability that sometimes you don't get with irrigated vineyards.
Irrigated vineyards do typically get higher yields than dry farmed acreage, but the latter will often command higher prices from winemakers.
It isn't better. It's just different. It is the expression of the soil and the climate. When you don't add water, that's all you get.
But that's plenty for Andrew Nall, winemaker at the nearby winery that bears his name.
The flavor is more distinctively zen, crisper, and it keeps the skins tighter because there's not any excess moisture making the berries flabby. So you get a really focused, refined wine.
And Nall attributes that to the way that dry-farmed vines grow.
All the leaves dry out in the middle of the vine, so the fruit has a lot of dry air movement to keep the fruit fresh throughout the growing season.
It's difficult, though not impossible, to gradually convert an irrigated vineyard to dry farming. Far better, says Glenn McGorty, viticulture advisor at the UC Cooperative Extension in Hopland, to plan for dry farming from planting forward.
The more resilience that we can build into our vineyards to deal with less water, the better. And that's why I'm a big believer in soil health and, when we can, of designing a vineyard that can absorb water and hold on to it. And we can do that by regulating the organic matter in the vineyard. That's one thing we have control over. The more we can find a way to get by without using water, the better off we are.
Especially as competition for that finite natural resource intensifies going forward. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.